broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A take-home lesson from this is that, well, they were very, very
unprepared. Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show.
So, we both are...
The demand is not their demand. The demand is Bin Laden's demand.
Hillary would kick a baby in the head if it would get her what she wants.
I like Wiener.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots as we continue along trying to lead you, our listeners, in the right direction on this radio program, and that would mean in the right direction. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. Yes, join us in our trek to the future. And visit us on our website, Phil Hendry. What's the matter?
Well, you keep doing that.
I'll do what I want to do. Join us on our trek to the future on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show every night, along with thousands of hours of archives, along with a podcast. And I got a guy wrote me a note. One of these interesting notes, you know, you get from a listener. He'll say, and it's a very good question. He said, well, Phil, you know, we are mobile on the Android, folks. You can watch us. You can watch our show stream live on the Android. You can watch us on demand, our video. The iPhone is a different thing. iPhone is run by Apple. Apple has their own rules. They hate Flash Player. That's okay, because as of next week, when we begin to update our video equipment here, we're going to have a TriCaster, which is going to enable us to live stream on iPhone. All of that is to say the following thing. When he said, Phil, can I get the podcast on iTunes? Yes, you can. Well, gee, Phil, I can't get it by way of my iPhone. That's because our podcast is subscription material. You get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month, which is about the greatest price in the history of the world when it comes to the quality radio that we give you in our archives and in our daily podcast. But you can't access subscription material via your iPhone because Apple wants a piece of the action, baby. And it was very interesting. As of last week or 2 weeks ago, Apple now has stuck it to the New York Times. You name any subscription site.
Yeah, I saw about the New York Times, man. All of a sudden, they want a piece of the action.
Right. And the you know, what is the New York Times? That's because, New York Times, you guys are going by way of an app. Apps suck. Listeners and viewers and readers think apps are great, but no, they're not. There's something better. It's called Just Make Your Whole Website Mobile. Now, I get all kinds of people saying, Phil, why don't you have an app? I'm not going to waste my time with an app for this show that has to be updated every 4 months or whatever the hell, that I got to share the money that I'm making with Apple. And maybe not, they will approve the app. Do you realize that there are radio shows and TV shows that have submitted apps to Apple that they could have on an iPhone? And Apple said, no, we don't want you to do that one. No, 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 no. They're just telling no, 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 no. They're little apps that they think will be a gateway to millions and billions of dollars. That's baloney, man. I ain't going to waste my time. What I'm doing and what we're going to do is build a mobile platform, which means you don't have to have an app. You go to my website and you got a mobile site. And when you go to that mobile site, you interact with us with your subscription password and your username and so on and so forth. However, iTunes cannot be accessed through an iPhone because of the subscription material. And so that's just how Apple wants to do things. But you can still go directly to our website and get it that way. You can also go directly to our website and subscribe to the iTunes, to the Phil Hendry Show podcast on iTunes, and it will automatically download to your phone or to your iPod. So I don't know what the story is here, man. Unless you don't have access to a computer, I don't know what to tell you. You can get our classic Phil podcast directly.
Yeah, I saw that because those are free.
Right. That is non-subscription content. It's a very interesting game. I know a lot of you guys have phones. I'm mobile, and you know what you can and what you can't do. I guarantee you this, that for an operation like ours, we are right on the cutting edge. But we're not going to make any decisions, and we're not going to go technologically in any direction that doesn't make any sense. We're not jumping on the bandwagon for apps. And we're not going to be jumping on the bandwagon for this, that, or something else, man, okay? We believe in content. We believe in upgrading our content as well as our video content. We believe in making sure that you guys have all of the archive shows that we have at our disposal. We then believe in making sure that we whatever we do with the website in terms of mobile makes sense. And it isn't some jive-ass app that looks cheap, is cheap, and isn't operable in 4 or 5 months. And, oh, yeah, maybe Apple doesn't dig it, and maybe they'll just go ahead and discontinue it and won't let you. I mean, you wouldn't believe the malarkey, man. Better to just have a website that is fully mobile, and you log on with your bookmark. Bang, there's the mobile site. There's all the stuff you need. There's the this, there's the that, there's the something else, okay?
Well, I don't know if you meant the this or that.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You know, right now the technology is so new, And the options are so manifest, of so many of them, and it's such a new era that we have entered into that everybody is racing for the spot where any little bit of lightning hits. Ooh, look at that. Oh, let's go over the apps. Ooh, look at this. You know, what's the thing everybody's pitching now, man? Look on TV. They got their mobile phone, and there is the streaming video. Oh, yeah, I got to have video that streams. Got to look at video streaming. You know, well, that's cool. Right now, our video, you can watch on any Android phone, okay? And we're going to take steps toward making sure that our video is on demand or live on iPhone. But we're not going to do it so quickly that we're investing in stupid apps that are expensive, that are sometimes working and sometimes don't, that Apple wants a big fat chunk of. No, forget it, man. Look at this is a whole new day in business.
Well, how come you don't want to sell with Apple, man? If you sell with Apple, okay, then you got that app right on the phone there.
I don't give a damn if I got an app right on the phone, man. I'm on the air here every night, and I say, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. It's right there on your phone. Okay, and once we get our mobile site, hey, go to our website. We are fully mobile on the website. And you can obviously watch streaming video by way of your Android phone. And, oh, yeah, you can watch on demand on your iPhone. And so it's all good, baby. And as far as the subscription material goes, you enter in your username and your password. There it is, man. There it is on QuickTime. No. And we're not going to play that game. And I look at all these other schmucks. And forgive me, but people in my business, people that I like, I look at all these other jackasses going for their apps, working up these apps. It takes them 3-4 months, and Apple says, no way, we don't want it. I know of one show that just went through that. 3 months, they're working up an application, and guess what? iPhone said, Apple said, nah, it sucks. So guess what they're doing?
They're go to a mobile site.
They're going to a mobile site. And then the other thing we want to do, and this is a little bit further down the road, is make the site comport with the iPad.
Well, I like turning pages.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it's something we want to do, but we want to make it so that it looks good on the iPad. Anyway, all right, I just burned up a whole quarter hour, didn't I?
Pretty much.
Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The Charlie Sheen story is so good, so rich, and so fully packed with all kinds of fun stuff. I am going to do it after the break. I'm going to do it after the break. I will lead us up to the break with a story of minimal, well, I shouldn't say minimal interest. This story has a lot of interest, but I don't want to go off on a tangent because I can get really angry when I read stories like this. And this is the story of a college student from Saudi Arabia studying to be a chemical engineer, buying explosive chemicals online as part of a plan to hide bomb materials inside of dolls and baby carriages to blow up dams, nuclear plants, or the Dallas home of former President George Bush. Some student. This is so perfect that you think it's almost made up.
Well, that was our thinking. It was probably made up. You know,
I mean, it's so a Saudi student. He wants to blow up dams. He's a student. He's here on a student visa. After mastering the English language, learning how to build explosives, and continuous planning to target the infidel Americans, it is time for jihad or holy war, said Khalid Ali M. Aldaswari, writing in a private journal according to court documents. The 20-year-old Aldaswari wrote that he was planning an attack in the United States for years, even before coming to the U.S. on a scholarship. Boy, this is a sick guy.
He's thinking about over in Arabia.
Yeah, he said he was influenced by Osama bin Laden's speeches, that's how dumb he is, and that he bemoaned the plight of Muslims. Bemoaned the plight of, yeah, over there. One of the chemical companies, Carolina Biological Supply of Burlington, North Carolina, reported $435 in suspicious purchases by this dumbass to the FBI on February the 1st. You know what? I'm getting the feeling that some of these guys, though the plots are frightening and would take many lives, that the guys that are planning them were sort of stupid.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean a guy... What if the Saudi Arabian secret police did it?
What?
Say that again, bud.
What if the Saudi Arabians... Don't they have like a CIA or something?
Saudi Arabia's got a security service, sure.
You're trying to tell me, man, they're going to plot and kill up George Bush? Man, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah, that's the truth. If we found out that the Saudi government was involved in trying to kill a president, there is not a nuclear weapon that we possess that I would not personally approve of using.
You go ahead and nuke Saudi Arabia on account of that?
Yes, I... Are you crazy? That's an act of war. I realize I sound old-fashioned. Murdering an American president, a foreign government murdering an American, that's an act of war. Now, I know I sound old-fashioned, and I was stunned. Well, no, I wasn't stunned, because, you know, look, YouTube, most of the message boards, these are playgrounds for the anonymous. And who are the anonymous that go on these message boards and talk about what a douchebag this president is or how this guy ought to be killed? These are all powerless little people. Powerless little people.
Yeah, that's what you always were telling us.
They are. They got to go back to their bucket shop job selling pencil and pen sets. But while they're on their lunch break, they'll go on the message boards of YouTube and they'll talk about this, that, and all kinds of horse dung. So this guy here, this Al-Dhaswari, he's a cut above them. He actually went out and tried to get something done. However, he's so stupid, he got busted by the Carolina Biological Supply Company of Burlington, North Carolina. Separately, a shipping company, Conway Freight, notified Lubbock police the same day with a similar suspicion. Within weeks, federal agents had traced his other online purchases, discovered extremist posts he'd made on the internet, and secretly searched his off-campus apartment computer and email accounts and read his diary. I wonder if these guys want to get caught. They don't really want to go through with this stuff.
But I was going to say, maybe he looks like a big shot on account of just to have a mugshot.
Yeah, well, what's that going to do? You know?
Well, he's got a mugshot that goes around the world, and they're like, oh, wow, look at what a tough ass he is. TNP, the chemical explosive that Al-Dhaswari was suspected of trying to make, has approximately the same destructive power of TNT. FBI bomb experts said the amount in the Al-Dhaswari case would have yielded almost 15 pounds of explosive. That's about the same amount used per bomb in the London subway attacks that killed people in July of 2005. All right, we'll be back. Charlie Sheen attacks Two and a Half Men, the Two and a Half Men creator, in a rambling radio interview, a half mad rambling radio interview on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back here in the world famous, and Alex Jones made a big deal out of the fact that he and Charlie showered together. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on our news hour in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. You saying, Bud?
Right. I think with the Charlie Sheen story, that you're looking at this guy's coming apart. He's coming apart out of the wheels, man.
Yeah, the wheels are coming off this guy, you know.
What do you mean the wheels are coming off?
Well, I think that he is gonna, like, drinking and drugs and everything, you know, is gonna mess up that show.
Yeah, it's like what an alcoholic will do when they mess it up and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with the fact that his drinking...
I mean, they're saying that there's not gonna be no show or anything.
No, I don't disagree that his drinking is now beginning to take a toll, because it's one thing to say, well, I'm a party animal and I drink. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't really know the particulars of any individual star's drinking or drug habits. But in the old days, they used to talk about guys like Spencer Tracy drank a lot. Errol Flynn drank a lot. Now, those are guys that did movies. They didn't do daily TV shows. But the you know, the mythology always was, oh, these guys can really hold a drink. I mean, they drink like a son of a guy. I think Errol Flynn used cocaine. But the legend of these guys, they really could drink, they could really hold a drink, and it didn't affect their work, and they right up to the bitter end. And Errol Flynn died pretty young, man. He was like 58 or something when he died, so it wasn't like...
Do you think that's what killed him?
Well, what else kills a guy at 58, man? You know, a heart attack, you know. But Charlie Sheen, this is a cat now that's, you know, it's affecting his work.
What about Marilyn Monroe? Didn't she tied it on, didn't she?
I don't know about Marilyn Monroe. The only thing I heard about Marilyn Monroe was that she used pills, that she was very often late to the set, and I don't know whether that's because of her using sleeping aids that caused her, it made it difficult for her to wake up. But she was late a lot, and it pissed people off. In the case of Charlie Sheen, let's talk about this here. The CBS and Warner Brothers, and I'm quoting the story here from ABC, CBS and Warner Brothers have had enough. The companies are pulling the plug on top-rated Two and a Half Men after Charlie Sheen's shocking Thursday interview. So it's one thing if a guy is drunk or messed up or jacked up, but when he opens his yap and starts biting the hand that he's sometimes feeding, and it's sometimes feeding him, based on the totality of Charlie Sheen's statements, conduct, and condition, CBS and Warner Brothers Television have decided to discontinue production of Two and a Half Men for the remainder of the season, the company said in a statement. TMZ posted a story earlier today quoting Sheen challenging creator Chuck Lorre to a fight. Oh, good Lord. Calling him a stupid, stupid little man and a blankety-blank punk that I never want to be like. The troubled TV star also took to the airwaves once again today, this time calling into syndicated radio show The Alex Jones Show to slam Two and a Half Men creator Chuck Lorre in a rambling, erratic, drunken, insane... Well, let's listen to it.
I am battle-tested bayonets, bro, and I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second, and I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every frickin' turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls. You know, dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee, because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity, and, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives, and then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Sheen repeatedly referred to the Jewish showrunner as Chaim Levine during the interview. Chuck Lorre's birth name is Charles Levine.
You know, I'm tired of being told, like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull. Let me just say this, that it's nothing decided of deplorable that a certain Chaim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Chaim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this kit is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write.
Sheen discussed the threat by the producers that they would cancel Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show and all that. And so I'm just sort of seeing if they're telling the truth or not. Are they happy with the $5 billion they've already made off me, or do they think they can turn that into 10 in a couple more seasons? I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, it's a runaway freaking juggernaut.
Well, let me tell you what they're saying. They're going to have the show without you. That's like having the sunrise without the sun.
Yeah, watch your ratings, dudes. Watch your stupid ratings.
Whatever.
Do what you got to do, man. I'll go make movies with superstars and not work with idiots, you know?
Who was that? Who was that behind him?
I don't know.
That's runaway ego, man. Oh, it was a caller. Well, that's Charlie Sheen. And, you know, I don't know how much of what he's saying is true. First of all, it's true that he's a star of that show. And it's also true that he's a drunk, you know.
Man, that dude, he was bagging on Jews and everything.
Well, that whole anti-Semitic thing, Chaim Levine, you know, Charlie Sheen grew up with a Hollywood father and with Hollywood brothers. Has he ever been exposed to the world? His father was a successful actor when Charlie Sheen was a little boy. So has he ever really actually been out in the world? I mean, this Chaim Levine and this knocking Jews and You know, this cat has run into it, man. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. This is our news hour. And we're going to get just a little bit more into the story here of Charlie Sheen. We were looking at we're looking for the names of people that have been canned off of TV shows or canned off of maybe off of movies because of behavior or a behavior influenced by mental illness or drugs or something like that. And the first one we could think of, because it was very recent, was Isaiah Washington. Fired in the third season of Grey's Anatomy for calling T.R. Knight, who is a co-star and who is also gay, a faggot. And I recall that because we had quite a bit of audio having to do with that stuff. Now, Charlie Sheen hasn't been fired. What they've done is they've pulled the plug on the TV show, and they've pulled it for a year. And I don't know what that means. I suspect what it means is they're probably, or you think they're done maybe producing the shows, and they'll wait until the fall, and that's the end of that. Now, this cat has other actors who are working with him on the show, and to the extent that he's, you know, his behavior is responsible for their employment and the money that they make, maybe he ought to think about that. You know, and the guy, if he's not showing up on time and he's showing up maybe loaded, then that's a problem. If he's showing up on time and he's not loaded, then who cares what he's doing with hookers or other than the fact that he could get arrested, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you're not supposed to be being with hookers and stuff, are you?
It's Hollywood, man. They expect that.
Yeah. It ain't like, man, it's not like they're playing for the Lakers or something, you know.
Yeah, they're not going to give a damn if he's hanging out with hookers. What they do care about is if this guy's not showing up for work on time. However, all of that having been said, we got ourselves another anti-Semite, one of these movie actors, you know, TV guys. All these guys, I don't know what the hell, Sheen is Hispanic. You know that, right?
Uh-oh.
He's Hispanic.
What do you mean he's Hispanic?
He's Hispanic. The family name is Estevez.
Oh, man, that... Are you kidding me, man?
Oh, it's not that big of a scandal, okay?
Yeah, but he's all talking about Jews and stuff.
So what? So what? I mean, yeah, it's bad, but if he was... Why does it make it so special because he's Hispanic?
On account of he's in a minority group.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. But the fact is, he is Hispanic. Sheen is a stage name. His father took the name Martin Sheen. His brother, Emilio Estevez, has held on to the family name, and I think that there might be another sibling there. But this guy busts out with Chaim Levine talking about the showrunner Chuck Lorre. So, and he's doing it openly, and he's doing it without apology, and it's a stunning thing for me, because in my business here on the radio, anybody in television, if I started busting out with that kind of rap, man, it would be over. It would be all over. Now,
well, what do you think happened to him, man? It's all over for him, too.
Not quite. They're pulling the plug on the show for a year. But that doesn't tell me anything. That tells me they're pulling the plug on a production of the show for a year. Maybe they got enough in the can. Sheen's probably got a guaranteed deal. He's getting paid anyway. What does that mean for the other actors? I don't know. Doesn't mean jack. It means come summertime, they're going to start producing new shows again. So what? Now, other actors that got canned from shows for being weird, actor Paige Kennedy, a male...
You sure about that?
That I had to double check that.
I don't know if the name Paige.
It's a guy. Actor Paige Kennedy, a male, was fired from Desperate Housewives due to sexual misconduct on the set. He was rumored to have flashed his genitals on the set frequently. Maybe it was some sort of a emergency signal.
Yeah.
Not is that SOS?
It might have been SOS, using his generals, which some people call their generals, you know.
I do.
So there you have it. That's just a couple of examples of people that have been fired because of their obnoxious and crazy behavior. I was telling you about Fatty Arbuckle. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, that Fatty Arbuckle story is the most bizarre. It is weird.
Well, in my travels over the weekend, I was reminded of the story of Paul Byrne.
What's that one?
Well,
these stories you got about Hollywood and everything is the sickest thing I've ever heard about it in my life.
God, man.
Yeah, spit it out, man.
I did.
All right. Well, this is kind of sad, man, and it probably, I shouldn't, it doesn't even really have anything to do with anybody being twisted and messed up, you know, and going to work that way. It has to do with the very sad case of Paul Byrne. Mr. Byrne worked at the same studio as Jean Harlow, okay? You know who she was?
Uh-uh.
She was a gorgeous, ravishing, blonde starlet. A star, superstar in the 1930s, Jean Harlow. She was beautiful, and she's a pretty good comedian. Kind of a Marilyn Monroe played comedy really well. Jean Harlow played comedy really well. Jean Harlow had a hell of a body. She had a beautiful blonde hair. She was really gorgeous. And so she was like a big-time star. She died very young. She was like 28, I think. She died of pneumonia.
Did Fatty Arbuckle get a hold of her?
Did Fatty Arbuckle get a hold of her?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too.
Fatty Arbuckle never got a hold of Jean Harlow, no. What happened to Jean Harlow was very sad, but what happened to Paul Byrne was even sadder. Jean Harlow was an actress who got around town. She had boyfriends. She had male friends. She was a woman who had her heart broken. She was a star in the early days of Hollywood when being a star was something else, man. There wasn't any TV. There wasn't the coverage of stars that there is today. So, you know, you were rich. You were well taken care of and hidden by the studio if you needed to be. And of course, Jean Harlow was the object of the affection of God knows how many millions of men. Well, this guy named Paul Byrne was a studio executive, and Paul Byrne was known as the father confessor because a lot of the actors and actresses would go to him for advice. He was a nice guy, you know?
Uh-oh.
Yes, that's right.
You're telling me about nice guys.
Right. He was a nice guy. Paul Byrne was. And Jean Harlow would go to Paul Byrne and talk to Paul Byrne a lot about her problems, about her life. And found herself attracted to this very kind man, found herself befriended by this very kind man, and found herself loving him, and he loving her, obviously, you know, and they became closer. And as I mentioned, this was a relationship that was really based, you would think, more on a platonic thing. I don't think they had any physical relationship at all. In fact, I'm pretty well convinced, and I haven't really read up on it.
Well, how much do you know about the story?
I'm telling you. What do you mean, how much do I know?
I mean, it's interesting. I just wondered if you know.
I know. Just let me finish the story. I know. I know enough. Let me put it that way. So, and this will make Bud laugh. Paul Byrne, let's just say that this man was not blessed with the greatest of endowments.
Are you kidding me or something, man? What was it like?
You shut up. Now, how do we know this? Well, Jean Harlow and Paul Byrne got married. And it was a huge Hollywood wedding. And it was attended by all of the heavy hitters. And it was a this and it was a that. Now they go home for the night, and now it's their wedding night. Now, this is all information that was gleaned from interviews with Jean Harlow,
the soup?
Yes, the soup. Anyway, it's their wedding night, and Paul Byrne comes out of the bathroom, I guess, into the master bedroom, and strapped around his waist is a huge, what do you want me to call it?
Oh, man, like a...
You talk about like a mirror lathe or something?
Yes. He's got one that's... I think they call you strap it on.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess it's really big. And she starts to laugh. She said that she started to laugh. And the reason why he was wearing this thing is because the guys didn't, he felt he wasn't adequate, okay?
Well, I mean, he probably, was it like his thumb or something?
Yeah, probably about the size of a thumb, huh?
You know, will you guys shut up and let me finish? So this poor guy is being laughed at, and I don't think that she meant to laugh, but she thought the spectacle of this was pretty funny, and after laughing, you know, and the humor of this was finally finished, he presumed and proposed to make love to her wearing this thing.
So it wasn't so funny anymore.
So it wasn't so funny anymore to Jean Harlow. And I don't, you know, when you think of Paul Byrne, you know, physically, you know, the state of the man, I guess that, you know, was what he wanted to do. And in any event, it apparently upset her so much that she left the house. She left the bedchamber, and she left the home that night. Sometime later, either early the next morning or a little bit later on, he was found. He had killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had left a note, something to the effect of you, and I believe he said in the note, you know, I was only kidding last night. I was only kidding last night. So obviously he was humiliated. And that is about the saddest thing.
Yeah, but there's no Fatty Arbuckle edge to it, you know.
Oh, there's no Fatty Arbuckle edge, you mean?
Yeah, with a champagne bottle.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm sorry I didn't give you guys the real good stuff, huh?
The Fatty Arbuckle had that real good, you know, that
hey, get out of here. You make me sick, both of you. All right, we'll come back here at a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Oh, look, we have another one. In the film world, Lindsay Lohan was recently replaced for the role as Linda Lovelace due to her current issues. I didn't know that. Mel Gibson was removed from The Hangover 2 due to the actors not wanting to work with him because he hates Jews. And there's a lot of Jews there in the... I'm kidding. An Indiana official, he got fired for... Oh, I'm sorry. An Indiana... No, this is the tease for next quarter hour.
Right.
An Indiana official gets canned for comments about the protests in Wisconsin on his Twitter account, plus those Lincoln Memorial and Smithsonian gifts you bought during your last visit to D.C. Guess what? Guess where they were made? It wasn't America. And PhilHendryShow.com... That's made in America. Go visit, get a backstage pass. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here to the final segment of our show on this now Friday morning. Friday, baby. An Indiana deputy attorney general was fired on Wednesday after he suggested, among many provocative remarks on a private Twitter account and blog, no private Twitter account and blog. You understand? There's no private Twitter account. Were these tweets protected? Were they protected? You know, you can protect your tweets.
I don't know what that don't sound good, though.
What do you mean it don't sound good?
Well, it sounds dirty. That's all he's saying.
Are you guys an idiot? Are you guys both together one idiot? I think you make like one combined idiot to say that protecting your tweets sounds dirty.
I don't know.
Well, you can do that. You can, you know, like my tweets are protected and don't you dare touch them. Now, I don't even think that means that your Twitter account's private. I'm telling you, I haven't seen a bigger load of horse dung in my entire life than when I've been listening to that Neil Rosen mother and those other guys. Oh, wow. You know, I forgot that Twitter is public. Are you serious, man? Do you think anybody's buying that? For you to say that and to expect people to believe it, that means you want people to believe that you're a blithering idiot.
Well, I mean, if you say that your Twitter, I don't know, man.
Are you trying to tell me it's hard for you to remember that everybody on God's good green earth is going to read what you're, if, you know, I know that, like, you may only have, how many followers do you have, bud?
I got, like, 400.
400, man. Now, multiply that out. One of these people retweets to some other people, they retweet to other people. Next thing you know, it's all over God's half. Have you got a Twitter account, Robert?
No way, man. It's gay.
Gay? What's gay about it?
Oh, all right. Ooh, I got a Twitter account. Let me go talk to my boyfriend.
You're insane.
All right, shut up. Indiana official fired for remarks on Twitter suggesting police use live ammo to clear the union demonstrators from Wisconsin. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Somehow he got in trouble for that. Anyway, the Indiana... I'm kidding. The Indiana Attorney General's office learned of the remarks after Mother Jones, a liberal nonprofit news magazine, and a busybody old bitch that lives next door to the Capitol, not to be confused for each other, published a story online Wednesday. The exchange started, and Mother Jones is a real rat, man. They will rat your ass out every time. Anyway, the exchange started Sunday when Jeff Cox, age 39, tweeted, quote, "Use live ammunition," in response to a Mother Jones tweet that riot police had been ordered to remove union supporters from the Wisconsin state capitol in Madison. In the article published online, the reporter, Adam Weinstein, said he confronted Cox on Twitter. Who is this guy? What does this guy do? He's the attorney general. Oh, my God. He's a deputy attorney general.
Yeah, he's not the attorney general. He's a deputy one.
All right, which means they got, how many of those have they got? About 50? Anyway, the deputy attorney general. So the reporter confronted Cox on Twitter. He tweeted back that the demonstrators were political enemies and thugs who were physically threatening legally elected officials, Weinstein wrote in Wednesday's article. In response to such behavior, he said, "You're damn right I advocate deadly force." He later called me a typical leftist, adding, "Liberals hate police." Weinstein discovered Sunday that Cox was a deputy attorney general. Cox has listed had listed his profession only as a lawyer on his Twitter account. Did you think that was going to protect you there, Jeff? Now, I'm a conservative, Jeff. But let me tell you, you're an idiot. All right? Let there be no... You're an idiot. In a written statement released late Wednesday, Cox said the post was not meant to be taken literally. Yeah, that is a lie. And I've just about had it with these people claiming that things were satire. Every time one of these simple-minded clowns says something outrageously wrong, they always say this, "Well, it was satire." You wouldn't know satire if it walked up to you and pulled your pants down and you know what.
What?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right. In an interview with CNN in Indianapolis, Jeff Cox lies. No, I mean, Jeff Cox told this tale. I mean, he said, here it is.
I made some comments on Twitter that were intended to be satirical.
Bull crap.
I think in this day and age, that tweet was not a good idea.
Right.
And in terms of that language, I'm not going to use it anymore.
Okay, well, you're an idiot, and you also lied, so... Yeah, you see, look at folks. That's a guy who was caught doing something stupid. He lied his way out of it. Maybe it'll keep his job. Maybe it won't. But when I say that, you know, I'm tired of it, this is what we do for a living. We do satire. I know what satire is. That guy, he don't do satire. I don't even know if he does lawyer.
His wife does lawyer?
Yeah. Wife does lawyer.
All right, fine. Anyway, Weinstein discovered Sunday that Cox was deputy attorney general. Cox had listed his profession as lawyer. In a written statement released late Wednesday, Cox said the post was not meant to be taken literally. And I don't think any reasonable person would conclude otherwise. I would. Absolutely, man. I mean, I don't know you. Okay? I don't know you. And I don't know how smart... Do you think the attorney general of the state of... No, ordinarily I would hope that he wouldn't. But I have, as he just said, in this day and age... how can I expect anything different? I don't know how these guys, half of these guys are so stupid. You want to break down and cry. Honest to God, do we got to go through this? Do we have to go through this again?
Why, do you honestly believe?
Yes, I do. Based upon what we've had to witness over the last several years, yes, I do. Yeah, I honestly believe that there is someone that dumb working in the Indiana attorney. And it isn't just the state of Indiana. I'd bet it for all 50 states, both parties. You know, look. The governor of Wisconsin is trying to get something done. You open your big fat yap on Twitter, man. You make his job 50 times tougher, Cox. Cox admitted he made a lousy choice of words, which he regrets because he's not very funny or interesting and bores people at parties. But he said the affair had been blown out of proportion. Sure, he hates Jews and children, but why would that have to interdict? No, he didn't say that.
He said that.
No, he didn't. He also lamented what he considers a double standard about, oh, God, when they start talking about double standards. The big question before us is whether or not public employees maintain their First Amendment rights once hired by the government. The Attorney General's office was well aware of my blog, which started over 7 years ago, and at no time did they express any concern about its content. Maybe there wasn't anything in the blog. This isn't a blog. This is Twitter, stupid. Twitter. Tens of thousands of people are on Twitter. Attorney General Greg Zeller wasn't available Wednesday for comments. Spokesman Brian Corbett said it's the first time the office has terminated anyone over social media use. Cox has not tweeted since Sunday, and his blog, ProCynic, at blogspot.com, has been removed. Well, you haven't got your job anymore, man, so why don't you go back and blog a little bit there, Cox? Until Sunday, Cox often tweeted every few minutes for hours. Many of his comments focused on politics, and he frequently engaged in debates. Some people would say, like Sybil Johnson,
well, he was very interesting.
And then that was the end of that. And then Bob Thornton said, yeah, I enjoyed it. And there were a lot of people like that. And thank you. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. Until tomorrow, don't forget. Forget it.
The Phil Hendry production in everything.
Phil Hendry.